do not mark doctoral student because they got more.
Great. I'd like to welcome everybody to the regular meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting in combination both here at the office in Springtown and by Zoom. The public is joining us on Zoom. I'm going to say this, and Doug may correct me. You can find the links on our website via Zoom. If any of you are wishing to speak on an item on the agenda, if you would use the chat function on Zoom and let Doug know so we can unmute you for that portion of the agenda. All the directors are unmuted, and hopefully we won't have a lot of back feed on the sound from their sides. Call roll. Director Reynolds.
Present.
Director English.
Here.
Director Nague is out of town. Director Watts.
Here.
Director Micah.
Here.
Director Wilson. He is on a tractor and trying to join us by phone. He may be in and out. Director Berkeley.
Here.
And myself. We do have a quorum. First item on the agenda is a public hearing, discussion, and public comment on the district's 2020 management plan update, including adoption of resolution 20-002, adopting the management plan, taking any other action. Doug?
Yes, sir. Let me share my screen real quick. Can everybody see my Yeah. All right, folks, this is real quick. Go through the changes. So as many of you all know, are aware, Chapter 36 requires that every groundwater district acquire a groundwater management plan and re-adopt or update every 5 years. Our current management plan expires on September 15th of this year. I was notified in April by the Water and Land Board. Made changes necessary to it based on recent rule changes.
And, still going.
And
oh, yeah.
If you're not a member of the board, made some changes to the current management plan based on updated rules, based on the designation of the Paleozoic formations as the Cross Timbers Aquifer. So I'm just going to real quick go through the things that were changed from the current adopted management plan. Section 3D was updated, and this is the portion about groundwater resources in the district. Again, since the last plan was adopted, Texas Water Development Board has designated the Cross Timbers Aquifer as a minor aquifer. So there's about a page of discussion about that point, about that aquifer. Section 5 was updated to discuss the rule updates that we adopted last year, added the link, the current link to our new, to our adopted rules, and added discussion about operating permits and historic use permits. The two biggest changes are in Section 8. We updated Section 8A to include a performance standard that requires the reporting of total number and total volume of permits in our annual report each year. And then Section 8D was updated to require reporting of injection well applications that are reviewed by the district. This is something the district's done for a long, probably since the beginning of the district. And it's just never was included in the management plan as a requirement or included in the annual report. So it's just gonna be another report that we add to the annual report, just so the public can know, you know, it's one of the things we do. We track all injection well applications in our four counties and the adjacent counties. And check them to make sure that they're not a threat to the freshwater resources in the district. The only other changes are updates to the appendices, which just some new reports from the Texas Water Development Board that are required, both the basically data from the regional water plans and then MAG data from the GAM run, and then the recharge report, and then Appendix C was updated to include a current link to the district rules. I've sent the draft to the Water Development Board. They reviewed it, had a couple minor tweaks. I've addressed those, their comments, sent it back. They confirmed everything looked good. And at this point, I would recommend the board adopt Resolution 20-002, adopting the management plan, and authorize me to make any editorial or minor changes in response to any further comment from the TFPB.
Do we have anybody from the public who wants to speak on this one, Doug?
Yes. Does anybody, I don't see anybody sending a chat. For those of you I can see, if you'd raise your hand. Does anybody have any comments? See any, Tracy? I'm not seeing anybody.
It's not from the public. Does any of the board members have any questions on the management plan? There being none, the chair would entertain a motion to adopt Resolution 20-002, adopting the district's management plan.
I make that motion.
Motion by Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Watts. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to close the public hearing on the district management plan at 5:08. Open our regular agenda. Item number one is the consent agenda, including approval of minutes from the board meeting of May 18th, approval of bank statement ending May 29th, approval of investment report, payment of bills and invoices received through June 15, and reimbursement for expenses. Do we need to pull anything from the consent agenda for discussion?
I've got, no, Tracy, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't need it, and I don't anything to add yet.
I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make it.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Now, Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number two is moved and approved. Item number three, discussion regarding request for second extension or third extension to drill approved water wells.
I can't hear a damn thing.
I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter. I can't hear them.
Okay.
I can't hear.
Richard, can you hear us?
No, I cannot. I mean, I just barely hear mumbling in the background.
It's full. Okay, I'll try to speak up a little bit more.
All right.
Item number three is extension request for wells. We have non-exempt well extension request from Stonegate Partners for two wells, Aqua 1, Town of Aneta 1, Lakeland Fairview 1, Town of Aneta 2 more, and an exempt well request County.
Great, Tracy. How do you want to handle all these? You want to do them all at one? Do you want to?
We need to discuss the Stonegate one separate.
Okay. Well, let me. You want me to kind of give a background
on
that one?
Go ahead.
And I think I'd like to hear from Victoria or the mayor of Aneta to kind of hear where they are. I'm going to unmute you guys because I'd like to hear what y'all have. Y'all have anything on these? Mayor, can you hear me?
Doug, I can barely hear you. It's very, very faint.
I apologize.
Here,
let me scoot around over here, Mayor. Get a little bit closer. Can you hear me any better now?
That's definitely a little bit better.
Okay, I'm gonna try to talk real loud too, and then I'm gonna. So the situation with Stonegate is, I guess it was maybe 3 years ago. We got applications for multiple public water supply wells for a new development. They got approved, went through hearing with us, the board approved them. I believe they've been going back and forth with the town of Annetta. All I know is not much has really happened. The board is, I approved the first extension, and our board's approved at least three more, if I'm correct. I believe this is the four, will be the fourth extension. Their engineer wasn't real sure if they'd be able to drill it in 120 days if he granted another extension. Mayor Victoria, do y'all know anything else? Because I know once this was, it was supposed to be, once this was completed, this was going to be, these were going to be turned over to you guys to be part of y'all's system.
We haven't heard anything from the developer in months, and we have inquired, but they have not responded.
So, and like I said, that's about where we are. We've heard from them. We let them know it was going to expire. They did send us an extension request, but weren't real sure if it was going to get drilled within the next 120 days. Victoria, you don't know. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't know anything.
No. Thanks for asking. We don't have any information, like the mayor said. We have requested updates from them and have not had any feedback. We do know there's some activity, you know, in and around their development area, but we've not heard from them at all.
Doug, what's your recommendation on Stonegate?
My recommendation is would be to approve the extension request with the note that it's very unlikely another one's going to be approved. I mean, that gives them 120 days to get it done. I mean, it's already been like 3 years.
Right. Doug, can you go ahead and make that in a process of having them Stone Capital, Stonegate Partners, or the Stonegate Partner, it looks like, just make contact with you within 30 days in order to, or say 45 days, and that'll be a contingent extension based upon them contacting you within that 45-day period. Just bring them to the table, see what's going on.
Sure. Yeah, sure. I'm happy to do that. Get a little bit more of an update of what's going on and whether or not they're moving forward with this project.
Is that in the form of a motion, Tim?
Correct.
45-day extension?
No. 120-day extension based or contingent upon the fact within 45 days they contact the general manager of the district with an update of their current status of the drilling of the water wells.
If that goes through, does that mean if they don't comply, they lose their extension?
In that 45 days, if that is a contingent upon a 45-day notification to the general manager within 45 days of today, if they have not contacted the general manager, they will lose the 120-day extension.
I just wanted verification that that's what you meant.
Yes, sir.
Do I have a second?
I second that motion.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I believe all of the others are first or second extension, correct, Doug?
Correct. I think they're second, or there's one that's a third. For Aqua Texas, 10151 Aqua had originally three wells in that subdivision. They drilled two. I think there's still some work on doing some work on those. But yes, the rest of them, it's like their second. So my recommendation for all the rest of them is approval.
Does that include the exempt well?
That includes the exempt well.
Chair to attend a motion to approve all the remaining extension requests. Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item number four, discussion regarding providing financial assistance to staff, district staff geologist Blaine Hicks and paying tuition for Master of Science and Geoscience program offered by the Department of Chemistry, Geoscience, and Physics at Tarleton State University, including adoption of Resolution 20-003, provide a tuition assistance program for the district employee and take necessary action. Doug?
Yeah, so Blaine and I have been visiting a while. He wants to attend grad school. So if you know, Blaine's already got a bachelor's degree in geoscience from Tarleton. He's already a licensed PG, and he would like to attend grad school and get his master's in geoscience. So when we first brought this up, you know, my thinking was, you know, I support it and I would love the board to support it, but I want to make sure we get something out of it. So a couple things that I wanted to make sure before I brought this to you guys, you know, this would be a thesis track program. And so I'd want to make sure the thesis project was beneficial to the district. So Wade and I visited, went back and forth, and Wade and I put our heads and Blaine put our heads together and came up with a thesis project that would, little background on it. So the Water Development Board's recently made it known that they'd like groundwater districts to expand their role in the monitoring and measuring of spring flow and throughout their districts. So the thesis project that we came up with would be to identify current and catalog existing springs, measure current spring flow to get, you know, a baseline. And that would be the first part of the thesis. The second part would be to develop an ongoing program within our district to measure spring flow from here on out. As you know, being on the outcrop of the aquifer like we are, spring flows are, you know, directly proportioned. They're directly aligned with water levels, right? So as water levels drop, spring flows are going to fall. So spring flow is a great identifier of aquifer health and water levels. Again, the state, this is something the state's kind of pushing. So my recommendation would be to, again, provide this assistance to Blaine. This would be in form of a potential forgivable loan. So the way it's set up would be 4 years after completion of the program, the loan would be completely forgiven. If Blaine were to leave prior to the first year after completion, he'd have to pay 100% of the funds back. If he left after 1 year, but before 2 years, he'd have to pay 75% of it back, and so on and so forth, until after he completes 4 full years of continuing work with the district after completing the program, then the loan will be completely forgiven. I visited with our attorneys. This is something state agencies are expressly allowed to do this. Their opinion was that, you know, it's totally legit for districts to do this, so long as it provides a benefit, you know, to the district. That's kind of where we are. Again, my recommendation is approval. Happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. What happens if the department or whatever doesn't want him to do his thesis on this?
We've already checked. Okay. Yeah, we've done the background work to make sure this is before. I wanted to get as much checked off boxes checked before I brought it to you guys.
And are we not going down slippery slope in that? What happens when someone else comes forward and wants their degree in a bachelor's or an associate degree?
So what the way the agreement and the resolution is written, it would only be for graduate level degrees. So only master's degrees or a PhD, not for bachelor's or anything less than a master's degree. And then there's the kicker of, you know, I wouldn't bring anything to this board that wasn't at least providing a thesis that was beneficial to the district. I mean, this thesis would go and be part of the next GAM update, right? All this data would be, it's
the expected cost?
So what we said, what I've put in the agreement is not to exceed $5,000 per semester.
How many semesters?
Ideally, classes would be done within 2 years.
Is there going to be a requirement? You know, I'm a little hesitant about this for various reasons, but is he going to be required to take, you know, you can get out of school in 1 year and you can extend it to 5 years.
Yeah.
Sounds to me like this is 5,000 a semester.
Correct. So there's, I believe it's 32 hours in class is the requirement in the program.
Why don't we make it tied into hours instead of semester?
A dollar amount per hour?
Yeah, because semesters,
mean, I may have taken 6 years to go through school and someone else could have taken three.
Correct. Yes. So the kicker with grad school, especially a thesis track, is generally you'll finish your classes in a year and a half or so, and then finishing the thesis work is what could potentially prolong it, but you're not paying for all the classes at that point in time. You have like one class that's the thesis program.
Are you not in school if you're saying 5,000 a semester and you're merely meeting with
your advisor?
Your advisor.
Correct.
Is that a semester? I think you're getting in.
They're charged for those. It's usually three semester hours on the grant.
It's one.
Well, but it's one class.
I wasn't bothered by 5,000 a semester because I just think you can drag it out too long. Should it not be tied into hours? Should it not be required to take so many hours?
Let me ask a Doug question here. You're talking about basically over 2 years, a cost of the district $20,000, correct?
Correct.
5,000 a semester.
Correct.
And when you said semesters, you're talking about full fall or spring semester. It's not a summer term.
Correct.
Why don't we tie it prorated amount to 20,000 prorated based on the number of semester hours for the master's degree?
Well, but I think
would that accomplish what you're asking about?
No, because you're setting 20,000. What happens if someone wants to get a degree from UT? It's maybe more than possible.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So where are we going with this? Is it not, are we not setting a precedent that we're going to get in trouble with down the road? I mean, what happens if somebody wants to go to TCU? Do we really want to spend some money?
Well, it would be, you know, up to the approval of this board.
But once you say we will pay for an advanced degree, should we not limit it to the state university? And can you do that? You see what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Going to TCU per semester is going to be significantly more expensive than Harvard or A&E.
Correct.
So, just some thoughts.
No, I get it. The way I look at it, is what's the benefit to the district? And I know you guys look at it from a different point of view. You know, if we were to go out and hire somebody to do the study that would we'd be produced by this thesis project, we're gonna be paying way more than 20 grand for that study. So that's one way I look at it. We're educating, we're investing in our staff, which again, I find important. I don't know how much weight the board puts on that. But if we're wanting to, you know, we've got a great staff, we've kept people around for a while, we want to continue to keep them, I feel we need to invest in them.
To answer his question, we could go ahead and limit the amount of money that an individual could receive from going to go to TCU or whatever the case may be. He's only going to be allowed $20,000 or 25 or whatever
well, the case may be. Well, I think the way the agreement's written right now is, you know, it'd be standard, and regardless of where they went, it'd be $5,000 a semester.
What happens if he doesn't complete? What happens if he owes us the money.
And the resolution states 5,000 per semester. It also says any substantial deviations in future tuition assistance agreements, other than conforming to the terms of the agreement to a specific district employee, shall be brought to the board. So anything different from this, anybody going attending to a school that would have a higher cost would have to come back to the board to be approved. Because obviously it depends on whether we have the finances at the time to do it as well. Right now we do. I'm just wondering if we don't need to tie it to a specific dollar amount per semester hour. So with the circumstances are he takes him 3 years instead of two, we're still at the same amount of money. It's just spread out over a period of time.
And I think saying after 1 year, he's going to be we're providing him a doctorate degree
or a master's degree. Yeah.
We're getting 4 years of continued employment from someone with a master's
degree. We're getting 1 year. We're not getting any guaranteed employment.
True.
And the chances of getting any, and I'm not talking about blank.
talking about
generalities.
You're kidding yourself if you think you're going to go to people and say, hey, you owe us for this money, and expect them to pay it back. That typically doesn't happen. They didn't follow Wall Street on it. How much are we going to spend on that? You know, I think we have to be aware of all of this before we decide. And I'm not saying I'm for or against it. I'm just saying that I think that we need to make sure we get all the bases covered.
Tracy, I spent a good deal of time working on this, and I'm happy to answer any questions on the legal side.
Who was that?
That's Brian Sledge.
Okay. Well, Brian, you know as well as I do. You know, to ask someone to pay a debt obligation and then if they don't sue them is frequently throwing good money after bad.
That's true enough. You know, I think the board needs to, I mean, the key to me on this thing is that you're getting 40 hours per week required out of the employee while they're in the program. And so if it's if employee retention is the driving force, and I know in this particular situation, the topic of the thesis will provide a lot of benefit for the district, but even if it didn't, if employee retention were there, you know, and he drug it out, you know, the good news on the way it's structured is if they drag it out, it's actually to the benefit of the district if employee retention is, because I tried to think of everything that could happen. Well, he could give up. You know, there's a lot of master's candidates out there that never completed the program. So we've got that, but, or he could finish, and in which case he's got a 4-year obligation to the district. I don't know that we can resolve the problem on if there's a default, what's the likelihood of collection, and whether it's worth the pain of trying. But I think as a matter of policy, you got to try on those things to send a signal to folks that that's not an acceptable alternative. But you're getting 40 hours a week. So, you know, typically if they're, you know, it's almost in lieu of salary and avoiding the income tax obligation that goes with salary. And it does seem to have a big incentive to both the employee and the district for them to keep working 40 hours a week while they go through the program. But
you raise an interesting point. How is this treated tax-wise?
How's it treated what-wise?
Tax-wise. Does this go on to his W-9?
I am not a tax lawyer. I will defer to a CPA.
It's W-2. But, I mean, is there not going to be a tax effect to anyone we do this for?
I don't know the answer to that. My law firm did this for our employees. I can ask my office manager. She'd know the answer to that question.
Do we need to adopt this tonight?
Well, I think he's got to apply before the next board meeting, and he wants some assurance.
I think we've got some things we need to resolve, because one thing I glanced over the resolution. Brian, we have nothing in there in our resolution stating that we can recoup our money on final paycheck if they leave early, do we?
I don't think you can do that.
Okay. I think we do need to consult with a labor lawyer a little bit on this.
Well, and I'm not saying that I disagree with the concept at all.
I think it's we need to fine tune.
I'm just a little bothered by, we may be, I don't know that we talk this out enough.
Yeah.
And should it be, and I'm just, should it be, I mean, are we paying the money up front, or are we reimbursing him at the end of a complete?
They would direct, the way it's written is, he would provide us with the bill he gets, and we would pay that at the beginning of each semester. Whenever he receives it.
Tracy.
Yes, sir.
If you look at, I think it's paragraph 4. Let me pull the thing up here. In the agreement with Blaine, if you look down at numbered paragraph 4, we do have a provision for deducting anything owed to the district from a final paycheck to the extent allowed by law.
Okay. I thought I saw that in there earlier.
I don't know that you can do that.
Well, his catchphrase is allowed by law, so if the law doesn't allow that.
And so it's worthless.
You guys are the lawyers, not me.
Well, but I mean, I don't know that you can effectively garnish wages. I don't know the answer to it, but if it's not a legally binding provision, explain to me why it's in there. We're the attorneys.
I mean, I didn't know, and I didn't want to spend, you know, another 5 hours of billable hours to go figure out either. I just thought that to the extent allowed by law, if we could do it, we could do it. So we stuck it in there.
Well, when you put it in there, though, there's a lot on the board that goes, well, okay, if he doesn't pay it, we can hold it back from his last paycheck. And I think that's...
We may not have that flexibility.
We can certainly go research that issue.
Are we restricting these master's degrees to water-related?
Have to benefit the district.
That's what the resolution states. It has to benefit the district. Be beneficial to the district.
I think it's important that we not just have board approval for a single employee, but the board establish a program like the one this resolution establishes that could apply to any class of employees that falls within it. I didn't want to complicate the resolution so much by putting all the exacting terms and not sure if they would, you know, I don't know what the variations are in cost per hour of tuition. And I think my experience with my college kid right now is the fees are more than the tuition cost. You know, that's why we just attached this one as an exhibit and said, you know, it has to be substantially similar for any other employee that comes within this employee class in the future. But obviously the board's got to fund this thing, and Doug's got to make a determination before he were to try to put anybody else in this, whether the benefits to the district are worth the cost.
If I can chime in just for a second, I did my master's on a program and worked on my doctorate for about 3 years on a program very similar to this. And the way we did it was we went in and it was reimbursement. Like we're talking about, but when at the end of the semester I had to provide my report card back saying that I passed the class with a C or better, and then then the clock started ticking on my time that I had to work there to pay that particular class back. In other words, I didn't wait till the end of the program. It was done class by class, and then that didn't really, it was really, it didn't complicate it that way. So it was, instead of being like a big lump sum up front, it was just scattered throughout and done on a semester basis that they paid for it. And then at the end, I provided my report card and I got reimbursed for it. And then the clock started ticking on that class that I took, as opposed to the whole program. So I'm not saying that's the way it should be done. I'm just saying that that's the way I went through a program very similar to this, and that's the way we did it.
Is there anything in writing? You know, in theory, I like the idea of having a well-educated staff. I just think we need to get the rules straight. Do you have anything in writing?
What do you mean, like in writing?
Well, he was under a program, I'm assuming, with some employer.
Oh, what Jared had?
Yeah.
You wanted to look at what Jared was using?
Yeah, whatever his employer had. Okay. Is that available?
Sure. Have you had a chance to look at the agreement we put in at all? Okay. Well, there's an agreement and a resolution.
Yeah, we have something similar in here. He's got 30 days after the end of each semester to provide us with evidence of his grades, and he has to maintain a 2.5.
Yeah. And it's got to maintain a 2.5.
And we provide in his particular agreement that we will pay it in installments, which is because we know that's the program that this particular university has.
Well, we were talking about, you know, the garnishing wages at the very end on the whole program. Say the whole program costs $25,000. Well, if you're going to do every semester, then you let them take the classes, and then if they don't pass it or something, they're responsible for it. But if they do pass it and they get the reimbursement for it, that goes away. And then if they don't pay that back in or something, it's just on that cost of that semester. If you get what I'm saying.
So you're saying that they were reimbursed after they successfully complete the course?
Yeah.
Instead of being paid up front?
That's the way mine was done. I'm not saying this is the way to do it, because it, you know, I don't know if Tarleton does flat rate tuition or hourly tuition or whatever, but you know, it can be a substantial cost up front, you know, several thousand dollars. I know mine was about $3,000 a semester flat rate tuition, and that's been close to 10 years ago. So I know it's probably went up since then. But you know, you can do it either way. I carried mine just out of – but I did have, I think I had the option to then paint up front, but it's a lot less hassle for me to carry mine till the end of the semester and then get reimbursed.
And the way our structure, just this particular agreement, isn't structured. What Jared said was for a particular class, this agreement just requires him to maintain a certain GPA, and if his GPA falls below a 2.5, regardless of whether he, you know, made 3 A's and 1 C, as long as it was over a 2.5, he's still eligible for the program. If it falls below a 2.5, he's not eligible for the program until he gets his GPA back up. Him or her or any other employee that would fall under this program. But this isn't a magic way, and I'm sure there are a lot of good ideas like what Jared's talking about, and I'm sure there's others. The biggest thing is, how are we going to move forward in a way that's going to address all of the board's concerns?
Just as my two cents, I'm not advocating any kind of ideas or anything. I am perfectly okay with this. In fact, I'm you'll receive benefit out of this that far outweighs the cost, especially if he's working on thesis in shallow water and discharges into streams and base flows and things like that. So, you know, the data that you get out of that will be invaluable to the data or to the district. So I have absolutely no problem with it. So I'm not advocating one way or the other how we do it, because I'm all for it, however we do it. I think the cost is absolutely minimal compared to what you get out of it. I'm just throwing some ideas out there in case to address people's concerns, saying that, you know, there's more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak, if we need to adjust this deal to make sure we got all of our bases covered.
Yeah, there's an argument to be made. If you've got a full-time employee, he has to be working full-time 40 hours a week under this agreement, and he's going to school, that you could have a program that doesn't even require vesting to avoid reimbursing after the thing, that it is almost worth paying itself if the total cost for, you know, this 5-month spring semester's, you know, can't exceed $5,000 for an employee that, you know, already has a undergraduate degree and is working as a PG. But
question. Yeah, so the data that they got out of me working on my PhD, I never finished my PhD, but the data that they got out of me, you know, for a few thousand dollars, and I've showed Doug some of this stuff because I've got NDAs that I can't violate. But, you know, for a few thousand dollars, they got, you know, probably data that's worth a few million dollars out of me. So, you know, it's anytime you can get that data and you can have somebody working on it, somebody support it and the brain power behind it to make it work. I think your return is dollars on the pennies of investment.
Question for Doug real quick. I know the agreement says not to exceed 5,000. If the tuition is less than 5,000, that's all we pay, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So if it's 4,200 that month, that semester, or 3,500 or whatever.
Correct. Blaine did some looking on some people he knows that are in the program. It's between 3,000 and 4,000 a semester is what it's ranging. That's why I set the limit at that, just to make sure there was
ample. Enough to cover. Yeah, you don't want to run short on it if you're going to do this. Director Watt, Director English, got any comments?
Well, I will go ahead and mention we also have a program. It kind of sounds like closer to mirroring what Jared had going on. Certainly, I think this particular set of requirements is certainly more in more detail than anything that we've got, and so I'm strongly in support of it without question. And yeah, different entities go at it different ways. There's a tuition program that we have at Public Utility Agency that we're co-owners of, and that we're putting the interim general manager through public management certification education right now, and that's something that we're covering up front. With regard to AMUD, it's more of a reimbursement type setup. So, you know, either way you slice the cake, I think it's a very important cake. I think it's something we need to proceed with. And I do like the way this is laid out, personally.
Tim?
I think all has been said. No, I cannot add any more to it.
What's the board's pleasure? If you have no more questions.
I make a motion that we approve the resolution as presented.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion or comments? And I'll make an observation. This is the first time we've done this. I'd be willing to bet we'll wind up tweaking this agreement before we get a second employee on it, just because of experience. It's just Pro forma.
Yeah, there. Hold on. I have another point of discussion. Is there, and when we adopt this, is this chiseled in stone, or if there is a flaw in it, can we tweak it as needed?
I think we have an obligation to tweak it as needed.
Okay, I just, you know, because if there is a flaw in it, you know, I don't want to approve something that, hey, we didn't see this. You know, this is our first go at it. We really messed this up, and we can't do anything about it now, but you know, I do want to see it approved. I don't want to back ourselves into a corner if there is something wrong with it.
I think,
yeah,
at this point, I think Lane's the only employee that's working at this, thinking about trying to tackle this at this point. We have two others working on their PG, correct?
Correct, but they already have masters.
But they already have their master's degree. So our exposure is one employee at this point, Jared, that I know of.
Yeah, and just to be clear, the board's just approving the resolution establishing the program. It authorizes the general manager to do the tuition assistance agreements in the substantially, you know, in the form of this. If there's some minor tweaks he needs to make to it, he absolutely can do it because they're minor tweaks. If there's some substantial deviation from the form, he's going to have to come back to the board.
Brian, are we also adopting the agreement form or just the resolution?
You're just adopting the resolution that utilizes the structure of this agreement, which is incorporated by reference, is the type of agreement that the general manager can approve. He can make minor changes, but he can't substantially deviate from it without coming back to the board.
Okay, so minor things Doug can take care of, major would have to come back to the board.
Correct. Yes, sir.
I'm not going to do anything else. I mean, it's always going to come to the board. I mean, anything we do regarding this, it's a big thing.
Anything else from the board? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Item number five, discussion update on GMA 8 and other joint planning activities and take necessary action.
Just a few items. GMA 8 met in May via video conference, went through and went over the initial draft Gamron results. Not much change. Our district had some changes to the DFCs because we updated pumping. If you remember in the fall, I brought you some new numbers that were more reflective of the actual real world pumping. So it increased pumping in some areas, and then it redistributed across the sub aquifers of the Trinity. I expect another meeting in the fall with that time when we asked to adopt draft proposed DFCs. The big thing I like to talk about is GMA 8, GMA 6. So if y'all can see this map, I'm going to try to blow it up a little bit. So of course, with the designation of the Cross Timbers as a minor aquifer, we plan on in the next round of joint planning to adopt DFCs for the Cross Timbers. So the idea came to me, I visited with Larry French, who's the Director of Groundwater Resources at the Water Development Board, and said, what would be the thought of moving the GMA 8, GMA 6 boundary to the edge of the Trinity? In other words, to put the Cross Timbers in GMA 6 with the rest of the Cross Timbers aquifer, which exists to our west. The Cross Timbers is extremely important in Montague County, about 70%, right, Tracy?
78%.
Almost 80% of water in Montague County comes out of the Cross Timbers formation. So the Water Development Board said, absolutely, that's something that can be done. They didn't see too many issues with it. So I asked the GMA 6 folks, they were on board with it. GMA 6 actually met last week and adopted a resolution to send to the Water Development Board requesting that they make this change. I expect GMA 8 to adopt the same resolution in the fall. At that time, I expect, you know, some couple months in the Water Development Board to make that change. Next round of planning, this would put our district in both GMA 8 and GMA 6. We'll be taking care of the Cross Timbers in GMA 6. I don't expect any additional cost to the district, because the way GMA 8 works, everybody pitches in and on the modeling for the Trinity, but for the smaller aquifers, you know, like those that deal with the Edwards or some of the other, the Hill in the Hill Country, they pay for the modeling for their small aquifers. We would have to pay for the modeling for the cross timbers. So it's a matter of paying for it in GMA 8, where they don't really want to deal with the cross timbers, or doing it in GMA 6, where they don't mind, and it's much, it's a different situation. I was at that GMA 6 meeting, and they already said whenever this does happen, if the Water Development Board approves this, they've already, just on the front end, appointed me as the GMA 6 representative to voting rep to Region C. So that would give us a voice on Region C, where we've had some issues with the numbers in Parker and Wise County. So just an update there for you guys.
You want to do an update on the cross timber study?
Yeah, and so the cross timber study, it was a while back. Last year, the Water Development Board kicked off funding. One of the reasons we requested that the cross timbers be designated as a minor aquifer, because our district basically, other than the BEG report, our district is the one that had funded all the studies on the cross timber. Once it was designated as a minor aquifer, there was state funding available. So the Water Development Board funded a conceptual model. So that draft just came out. Wade's looking at that, reviewing it for us. Staff, we're reviewing it. The final conceptual model will come out next year. And then next year, they'll start working on the actual GAM. The Water Development Board will start funding the actual GAM for the cross timbers, which should be ready in time for the next round of DFC plantings.
And that study covers like 36 or 39 counties.
Yeah, the study area is, you can see, is the crosshatch.
Yeah.
Part of the map is the study area.
Which is the largest part of Texas that's not already been studied.
Correct. Correct. And most of it, it's windmill water, it's brackish, but it's the only stuff there.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, it's very important, especially to Montague County and to southwestern Parker County. There are a lot of domestic wells out in the cross river.
Yeah, for us. And then for other counties, it's their only source of water.
Yeah, correct. So. And it's fairly productive in Palo Pinto. That's where the crazy water comes from.
Anything else? Any questions from the board on 5? Item number 6, manager report, general manager's report. Did we get our water quality study?
Well, we did from the monitoring well in Wise County. So we finished the well in Wise County.
Montague.
Sorry, Tracy. My mind. Finished the well in Montague County up there on the lake in Nakona. Drilled 800 feet. Saw some really nice sands at the bottom, but the E-log just was off the chart. So we plugged back up, hit that sweet spot that produced a tremendous amount of water. But the studies came back as about 2,300 was what Blaine was testing in the field. Red River Authority had it just over 2,500, I believe, TDS. So it was brackish, made a lot of water. They pumped it. There's top of the screen was at 560, water levels at 270. So there's almost 300 foot of hydraulic head. It's over, well over 300 foot of water in the hole, pumped on it for 24 hours and it only drawed down 10 feet. So it's very productive. It's just got some salt in it. But that's, I haven't talked to the HOA to see what they plan on doing. I don't know if they still plan to move forward and try to use that water and treat it. But
Richard and Jared, is that usable water at 2,500?
No. Wait, good RO water, but that's a little high.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, we treat surface water from Lake Granbury, and yeah, it definitely needs to run through the RO.
That particular public water supply has a high iron content at a shallower water table, I think in the 270 to 320 range, somewhere in there. Basically undrinkable. So this actually is an improvement for them. Significant amount of water.
Of course, TDS can be a broad term because we typically equate TDS with chloride, and that's not always the truth.
Right.
I looked at it over the weekend, Jared, the test results from the Red River Authority, I believe it was sodium and chloride. So, yeah.
So, you know, like what percent was it? Was it chlorides? Was it almost all chlorides, or was there sulfates in there?
It was almost all chlorides. I don't remember seeing any sulfates.
Okay.
Not that jumped out at me.
I mean, that's how typically we like to keep it below 1,000.
Yeah.
2,300, that's kind of what the crazy water is that, you know, they're bottling up and selling. But that's got lots of sulfates, magnesium, stuff like that. And it just depends on what the, it might make something good like that. But as far as putting out in the system, good drinking water, that would never fly with these DQ.
They have to go RO, right?
Anything else on, any questions on Doug's general manager's report? The link with customers, anything? We've got a report on education outreach. She's been busy, even if she has been on the computer. Injection well reports in there, well registration, groundwater production reports are there. I'll point out to the board, I crunched the numbers because I thought it was a little bit up. If we continue registering wells like we have during COVID, we're going to break over 1,400 in the district this year.
Yeah.
I think where we've been.
I think for new wells, I think May was maybe the most new well registrations the district's ever received in a month. It was insane.
It is up.
It was insane. And I want to give credit to staff. Even with staff working remotely, we were turning applications around quick. I mean, we're doing really well.
Board, have any questions on the general manager's report? Review line item expenditures and adopt any budget amendments? We don't have any, do we?
No, sir.
Discussion regarding staff supplemental insurance and take necessary action.
Yeah, the principal renewal is up. The only change is I believe there was a decrease in, there's no change in group term, no change in accidental. Long term, no change. Short term, no change. Dental, there was a 10% decrease, and that is the only change for supplemental insurance.
Chair would entertain a motion to approve the supplemental insurance policy. Motion by Director Micah, second by Director Berkeley. Wonder why you guys are in a hurry to get a decrease. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. General Counsel's report. Brian, you got anything?
Yes, I'll be quick. Governor on Friday extended his disaster declaration, which is for another month, which he's done each month since April the 12th, which is what allows us to have Zoom meetings. By all indications, he'll continue to do so just because of the ability to get federal money, if no other reason. We're paying attention to a big case with the LCRA and the Lost Pines District in Bastrop County down here. LCRA's filed for an application for 25,000 acre feet of water to the groundwater district to discharge into their system through a bed and banks permit to help supplement their surface water contracts and try to firm those up a little bit. The groundwater district board sent that off to SOA. About a year and a half later, it comes back, and the SOA judge is recommending approval with monitoring for both impacts on groundwater and surface water. Waiting to see what the board will do with that. It's a pretty high profile situation in Central Texas right now. Not much happened at the legislature because the House and Senate rules don't allow Zoom type meetings for committees. And because the governor's executive authority doesn't extend to the legislature, they can't meet unless they meet in person, and there's COVID all over the Capitol, so they're not meeting. They're trying to encourage the Appropriations Committee and the Senate Finance Committee to meet and trying to, and the redistricting committees to have their in-person meetings at socially distanced places, but trying to keep all other committees from doing anything. And so far that's what's happening. And I think that is my report, unless there are any questions.
Very good. Our next regular scheduled meeting is on July 20th with the governor extending the declaration. It'll be either totally Zoom or a combination Zoom and in-person as the directors are able to. So as long as we can get a quorum, we can keep functioning and do about Zoom. Anybody know anything we need to add to the agenda for next month?
Gotta likely have a couple hearings, Aqua Texas, and then there's an RV park that's got some wells in.
Okay.
Staff's working on those reports already.
Board members have anything else? If there's nothing else, I show the meeting adjourned at 6:02. Can you guys sign?